Makama ye bazibwe.
Amina.
Makama ye bazibwe.
Amina.
Woo! And you guys are good. You guys were excellent last night on pitch, everything. Appreciate that very much. But it was fun to be feeling the mission unity and spirit last night as I was speaking. So thanks for that. How are we this morning? Tired, we're okay. I don't see my daughter. Where's my daughter? She's like, Dad, I'm out of here. You did? Okay. Yes, ma'am. Indianapolis, I'm told. Okay, where? Indiana. Santa Claus, Indiana, I guess. Okay. Hour north. I have absolutely no idea. Watch my daughter out there. I'm not going to be able to go, so I'm a little disappointed I don't get to hang out with her, but I have other things. So please watch my daughter. Give her lots of hugs and tell her it's from your dad. Are you guys, any questions for me before we get going? Any questions? Huh? I don't know, maybe someone could see if we can at least shut those off. Huh? Can I tell you something awesome about God? What is it? Teach us something awesome. I'll try. Actually, today I'm going to talk about man. So, which we sometimes make a God. But, so we're going to have a little switch this time. Yes. Why do we reject God? Very good question. I'm going to tell you exactly why today, so in this session. Good. Any other questions? Good. Are you guys enjoying yourselves so far learning? Good. Well, you know, there's so much I want to talk about, and I'm wrestling to know, you know, I can, like, there's probably four other sessions that I could teach. And so I'm like, okay, do I squish two and two and get through it all? Or do I just do two? I don't know what to do. Any advice? All right, thanks for... What's that? what we'll do is just kind of just go at a pace that's reasonable for everybody, and what we cover, we cover. Huh? All right. Well, why don't we pray, and let's ask him right now. Why don't we do that? Let's pray together. Father, we come to you, Lord, and we want to be fully dependent upon you to do the work that only you can do in guiding, leading, directing, in reaching our hearts, in giving us the eyes and the ears to hear and to see. Lord, our goal is to become missionaries. Our goal is to become proclaimers of you. Our goal is to become united with you in your mission. With that, Lord, it needs to be you at work in us, and so we come dependently upon you that you would do, by your loving mercy, do that work in us. Father, I help you would give ears to us to hear this message today for the praise and glory of your name. Amen. I'm going to spend our time looking together now at the problem of missions. The problem, or the issue that we are up against in missions, and I'm going to look at it from a different perspective than you would traditionally look at it, because I want to help you understand what we are up against in our mission. Because our mission, we said, is that we are joining God in helping and bringing all people in subjection to him as king. In our mission, we are joining God's mission And God's mission is that every knee would, every tongue would, that Jesus Christ is
Lord.
That's the mission. We are discipling people to become learners of God, people who surrender themselves to the supremacy of God over them, who surrender themselves to His Lordship and become good and faithful servants of God. And let me say at that point, my dear friends, the sweetest and greatest thing in life is to let God rule through you. You know, there's this understanding that the law of God is burdensome, or the God's law is somehow a noose around our neck. Oh, that is the lie from hell. The law of God is liberty. When we walk in God's law, joy. Let me tell you, what are some of the problems that are terrible in America today? Tell me. What are they? Abortion. Death. Divorce. Suicide. Depression. Adultery. Drugs. Now let's just stop here. Every single one of those are a result of what? Sin. The devil wants to tell us that sin is fun. But let me tell you, the truth is sin is destroying, devastating, killing. Am I right? It's all a result of people saying, God, I want nothing to do with you. I am going to serve and live for my own pleasure. I know better than you. It's all a result of man making themselves king. Do you see that? When what we're doing is we're helping people see their greatest joy. We're helping people experience the greatest fulfillment they possibly can on this earth. We're helping people, as we said last night, become blessed. Right? Oh, it's not burdensome. The law of God is not burdensome. It's liberating. And so, you guys, that's why this is a love affair. The King's words are a love affair, because it protects us. The psalmist says, do not let me depart from thy word. Right? And that needs to be the cry of our heart. So many temptations out there. Divorce. Why? Because people have never submitted to the law of God. They've never become, the husband's never become the leader. The wife's never become submissive. That there's a dysfunction because they're not doing things in accordance with God's word. All of the challenges we find in life are a result of lack of submission to the Word of God, either in our own lives or others around us in rebellion, bringing troubles and problems upon us. So, our goal and our mission is to help them experience their greatest joy, and that is in walking as a servant of the King. Is that, to me, in my own life, in my own Christian experience, that is revolutionary thinking, you know? And to me, it's so practical in my Christianity. And I tell my kids all the time, man, I just want to be a faithful servant of the King. Amen? Amina?
Amina.
We need to say Amina. It's just a cool, you know? Everybody says amen, but nobody says Amina. Just kidding. So, but the issue is this. What are we up against in this pursuit? What are we facing with? Because as we were saying here, we want to be missionaries. And so our mission is right out here. Okay? So what are we up against? As we look at that world that is in rebellion against God, as we look at that world in allowing Satan to be their king, what are we up against? And I think we have missed a proper diagnosis of mankind. And I want us to return our perspective to a proper understanding of man. Who is the unbeliever? Why is mankind not
submit to God as king. I want us to see this together, and it is mind-opening. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, Paul, in this book, comes to the point where he is going to, he's going to show the problem with all of mankind. He showed in Romans chapter 1 that mankind in general, they do not submit to the law of God, they suppress the truth, they live in a rebellious way. Then he comes in chapter 2, he says, the religious people, they know the truth, and all they do is beat others and live rebelliously, and blaspheme God by their religiosity. Romans chapter 2, the second half, he says to the Jew, they know they're God's chosen people, but they still live in rebellion. Why? Why do all man live in rebellion? What is the problem with man? And he comes in Romans chapter 3 to explain the problem. By the way, on my website, and I just hope you guys will all go on my website, sosministries.com, and there's a place you can put your email. Put your email in there. Get our updates. Stay in communication. One day when you guys become billionaires, support our mission, but become participants in the mission that we're about. I would love that sincerely. If your parents, go to your parents, say, Mom and Dad, please support this mission. And the reason I say that is because it is a burden. We are burdened with our mission and the weights that we share, the weights that we have on our back, that we carry sometimes alone in the financial challenges of impacting Uganda are too heavy. And so I ask you to join us in our mission to that end. But get our updates at least so we can be a spiritual encouragement. But on our website, I have a Bible study that leads you from Romans chapter 1. There's one called The Glorious Gospel. There's one called The Transformed Life. It leads you from Romans chapter 1 through Romans chapter 8, both of those together. Romans is a book I love, but you feel free to look at that. There's Quest for Truth and those two Romans things I would give to you for your spiritual encouragement purposes. There's also a Bible study on Jude that I would also refer you to. Now, he comes to the problem. Why do these people live in rebellion? Look with me starting in verse 9 of chapter 3. He says, what then are we better than they? The we here are the Jews. Are the Jews better than the Greeks or the Gentiles? And he answers in a most fascinating way, and I want you all to see it. He says, what? Not at all. No way. Jews aren't better than Greeks. He says this, for I have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all what? Are all what? Are all what?
Under sin.
Now, hidden in there, we don't understand what that term under sin means. When we think of sin, what do we think of? What is sin? Anything that's not godly. Okay, anyone else? I'm not going to take for my daughter. Yes.
Something that separates us from God.
Okay. Yes. Disobeying God. Okay. Rebellion against God. Okay. Misbehavior. Okay. So what do you think he means by we are all under sin? We're all guilty? Let me tell you. Let me tell you, we have redefined what sin is. Sin is more than just a deed problem. It is more than just, oh, I did a bad deed. What he means here, and I'm going to show it to you so you don't trust me but see it for yourself, what to be all under sin is this, and I want you to hear this. It means that we are all under the control, under the power, under the dominion of sin. Before we are saved, we are under a different power. That power is called sin. Our problem is not just our deeds. Our problem is our nature. Our problem is sin within us from the time we are born takes and controls, dominates, and has mastery over us. And because it has mastery over us, therefore we do bad deeds. Our problem is not our deed problem. Our problem is our nature problem. Are you with me? And I'll illustrate what I mean. But my friends, the both Jews and Greeks, all unbelieving mankind, are all under sin. Ah, there you go. We're all under sin. Now listen. I want to show you more fully, and now I'm going to explain this text for you, but look with me at chapter 6, okay? Keep your finger in chapter 3, look with me at chapter 6, and I want to show you this talked about more fully. Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old self was what? Crucified. A believer has his old self crucified. In order that what? The body of sin might be what? Done away. That we can get rid of it. It's gone. So that we are no longer what? We are no longer slaves of sin. What is he saying? That before we're saved, we are what? We are slaves of sin. Before a man is saved, he is a slave of sin. Oh, friends, you don't really understand the full magnitude of that statement. But look what happens in salvation. It says, "For we are no longer slaves of sin, for he who has died has what? He is what? Look with me and tell me in verse 7, he is what? Read us from sin. Look with me again. Verse 17. But thanks be to God that though you were what? Though you were what? Say it with conviction. Though you were what? Though you were slaves of sin. You were, before you were saved, you were what? A slave of sin. Thanks. Why does he say thanks be to God? Look, because look, though it is thanks be to God that though you were a slave to sin, you became obedient from the heart to the form of teaching which you have committed, having been what? Having been freed from sin. Who freed you? God freed you. That's why he's thanking God. You were a slave of sin and God set you free. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. You guys are the bomb. Look with me again. Verse 20. For when you were slaves of sin, you were in regards to righteousness. Meaning what he's saying there is that when you were a slave of sin, you didn't have to obey because you couldn't obey. You were free. You didn't have to obey. And he says, look, therefore, what was the benefit you were deriving from the things which now you're ashamed? He's saying, what he's saying is this, you were free, slave, the sin controlled you, you didn't have to obey because you had no desire to obey, there was nothing within you that caused you to want to obey, so therefore, you went around and just lived a life, and what benefit did you have? Of those things you're now ashamed? When you were freed and sin controlled you, you're now ashamed of what the things that you did. But he says this, verse 22, but now having been what? Come on now. Now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification. Look, What he's saying is this. Before salvation, you are slaves of sin. After salvation, you are freed from sin. Little man. Jungu. That's Luganda for come. Did you know that? But you came. Good. Okay, come here. This man is slave of sin. Okay, I want you to go out the back door. Go ahead. Out the back door. Come on, go! 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 Will you go?
No, I can't.
Why?
Because you're grabbing me.
Because he is slave of sin. He's in control of sin. You come here, young man. Not you, this one. You were a bad patient, so I'm... Go, outside.
I don't think I can.
Come on, go! Go, I want you to go outside. Come on, go! Go! Look it. Mankind is... All right, you come.
Go ahead. Come on, go. 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 Come on, go. Go. Come on.
You wimp. No. Listen, that is the picture of sin. And I want to show that to you. The reality is this. Mankind is under the control of sin. Sin dominates them. Sin masters them. Listen, they are not under control of themselves. They are not free. Are you understanding me? People say, oh, well, we have free. Oh, man, that takes some energy out of shit. They say, you know, I'm free. They say, I'm free. My friend, listen. Nobody has free will. From the moment we are born into sin. What does that mean? It means that something is within us. Something is within our beings called sin. And that sin permeates every part of us and controls us. We are not in control of ourselves. Sin is in control of. He says, Shannon, be more practical. What does that look like? Well, Paul's going to do that. Look with me in Romans 3. Paul in Romans 3 says, look, all are under sin, are all under the control, all are under the dominion, all are under the power of sin. And he says, let me prove it. Let me show you. And he says, as it is written. So how does he want to prove it? Through the Word of God. Through the Old Testament. And so he says, look, let me prove it by the fact of showing you what man is like. It says, there is none who is righteous. Not even one. The result of sin controlling mankind is the result is there is none who is righteous. There is none who is godly. There is none who is sinless. To be righteous is to be holy in respect to the law. Meaning the law says, do this. And holy would be the nature of just being apart from sin. Righteous would be holiness in relationship to law, meaning I obey these laws and therefore I am righteous. But when the law is given, none are righteous. None do right. Are you with me? So, and why don't we do right? Oh, come on, thank you. Why do we not do right? Because of sin, because we're under sin. We're under control of sin. You think that's bad? Look next. Verse 11, there is none who what? There's none who understands. There's none who understands. My friends, look it. Sin is so bad that it is taking control of the minds of people. They don't think properly. It has influenced the mind where someone, you sit there and talk with someone and they're like arguing with you because they can't understand. Sin takes control of their thinking, takes control of everything. So they can't think and process properly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says the natural man does... Go ahead, you can turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. He says, but the natural man does not what? Does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. He doesn't accept them. Why? They're foolishness to him. So, by the way, let me just explain natural man. What is a natural woman? Huh? What's a natural woman? If she is a natural woman, what does that mean? Come on, talk to me. Huh? She's human? Okay. Come on, you know what? We like natural these days, don't we?
Oh,
we're like hikers and...
Oh,
huh?
I thought you meant no makeup.
Okay. If we're natural, she doesn't what?
Shave her legs.
She doesn't shave her legs. She stays natural. As well as when she lifts up her armpits, all of a sudden, whoa, you know? You know, and then no makeup, she stays natural. She stays in her original condition. Right? Like, that is a disgusting thought. So we apologize. You use as an example. But the natural man, so when someone spiritually is left in their natural position, he does not what? Accept the things of the Spirit. For they are what? Foolishness to him. Look what he continues. They're foolish. Well, why are they foolishness to him? What does it say? He says he cannot understand them. Why are they foolish? Because he can't understand them. Why? Because they are spiritually appraised or spiritually dead. Why? Because sin has deadened them inside to spiritual life. Sin has taken control of their minds, and they cannot think properly. They cannot understand. They cannot understand. In Romans chapter 8, the same concept is being talked about. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. He says, "For the mindset on the flesh is death. For the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mindset on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God." And what does it say? It does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even what? Able to do so. The unbeliever's mind is not able to subject itself to the law of God. And verse 8, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. My friends, listen. Before someone is saved, sin is controlling them. I define sin as an evil sin can be defined from two standpoints, from the perspective of a deed, as you defined it earlier, or from the perspective of a nature. And I would define sin as a nature, as an evil power that controls the heart of unregenerate mankind. And that evil power influences their thinking and takes control of one's mind. When you talk of worldview, the unbeliever's mind is under the control of sin, and therefore his worldview it is impossible that his worldview be proper. Like, you guys are getting missions, worldview. No, I'm just kidding. Are you understanding? Go back to Romans 3. Verse 11 says, there is none who what? Understands. There is none who what? seeks God. Now look, they are all, why don't they seek God? Because they are all under sin. Why do they not seek God? Why do they not understand? Why do they not, why are none righteous? They're under sin. Look, mankind, do they seek after God? Do they seek to live in submission to the king? Answer? No. Why? Sin controls them. They don't want God. You're going to come as a missionary with God. Do they want him? No. Want nothing to do with him. You say, well, I know a lot of people that they're religious and that, you know, they are seeking a God of their own making. You try and bring the one and true, sovereign, judging God of love and mercy, but also of wrath and holiness. No, thank you. And you'll even hear them if you push them long enough. Hey, if God is that way, then I won't serve him. Have you ever heard that? Well, if your God is that way, then if he doesn't love everybody, then are you God? Or can he present himself the way he wants to present himself? Man wants ultimate authority. Man wants to be, wants to form God into their own making, but the God of the Bible, the one who he's revealed himself to be, they will reject. They will run from. Listen, my brother, who I love to death, is a homosexual, and I ask that you pray for him. But he will tell you that he's a Christian. And how can he do that? Because he has made a God that is all-loving and is free with any lifestyle. And now, why is he a homosexual? Huh? Talk to me, girl. Uh-huh. He's under sin. Oh, do I need to condemn him? No! He's got the same problem the rest of mankind has. And I remember the day, he was a youth pastor at one time. I remember the day he was about to get married to a girl who he loved. And all of a sudden they broke up. And I went to him, I said, what's wrong? And he said these words to me, Shannon, you will never understand. Oh, let me tell you. Oh, I don't need to have, I don't need to judge him because he's under sin. I understand. What I need to do is come in with compassion, recognize his problem. Some of you have parents that have been brutally unkind. Some of you may even be raped, have been raped. I don't know what your past is. But you know why we can forgive them? Because we realize their problem was they are under sin. And that's why Jesus can stand on a cross. That's why he can be beaten by those whom he came to save. What's amazing, here Jesus was perfect, without sin. And they crucify him as a murderer of all things. How? Because sin has so twisted the mind of people that they would put him on a cross, beat him to a pulp when he was perfect. But he would stand on that cross, look at out at those who were killing him and say, Father, forgive them for what? They know not what they are doing. They don't know what they're doing because sin has taken control of them. See, our problem is so far worse than we preach today. You say, oh, Shannon, we preach sin. Oh, we preach sin, but a sin of our making. Not the sin that the Bible talks about. I can come to say, hey, are you a sinner? They'll say, everybody say, I'm a sinner, right? I've done bad things, haven't we all? But if I come and say, hey, you have a really bad problem. Did you know that sin is controlling your life? You are not in control of yourself. And that you do evil because you are evil. How many will sign up for that? Hey, you are a sinner of that kind. How many say, you're right? You think many? No. They'll say, I'm good. Right? But here we know, there is none who seek for God. All have turned aside, together have become useless. They become useless. There is none who does good, not even one. Somebody say, well, Shannon, wait a second here. I know a lot of unbelievers who do good things. Let me ask you a question. If I take and I walk an old lady across the road, okay? I walk an old, you're an old lady. Come on, pretend like you're old. I walk an old lady across the road. Is that a good deed or a bad deed? Okay, let me ask this again. If I walk an old lady across the road so that others can see what I'm doing, is that a good deed or a bad deed? Why? What makes a good deed is not the deed, but what makes a good deed is the motivation behind the deed. So what appears to be good in our eyes is actually not good because actually in the end of the day, it is motivated for wrong purposes. Are you with me? So good may be defined differently by us than it is by God. And when God says there is none who does good, he's saying there's none who does good because at the end of the day, the motivation is wicked. And therefore, there's none who does good, not even uno. Amu. Not even one. Are you understanding what we're talking about? My dear friends, mankind has a major problem. What are we up against in the gospel? When we go out as missionaries, we go to a world that is controlled and dominated by sin. Let me just, before I move forward, let me say this. You want to know whether you're saved or not saved? Look at me. You want to know whether you're saved or not saved? What controls you? What controls you? Is it the Spirit of God, where you have this longing to obey Him, this longing to follow Him? Or you look at the pattern of your life, and really it's a running after Him, but a hiding itself in Christian clothes. It's easy. You want to know whether you're a believer or not? What is controlling and dominating your life? The Spirit of God or sin? One last passage, and then I want to twist and turn us and look at how this relates to missions. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, and you were what? Ephesians 2, 1. Says, and you were dead. That is, you were spiritually dead in what? Trespass and sin. Sin in you caused you to spiritually what? Die. Caused you to spiritually die. And as a result, you formerly walked according to the course of this world. You walked according to the prince of the power of the air, of the what? Of the spirit that is now working where? In the sons of disobedience. Satan is actually working in the hearts and lives of those who are unbelievers. And the result is they walk according to the course of this world and the prince of the power. They are not servants of the king. They are rather servants of the devil. Among them, you two formerly walked and lived in the lust of the flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. I love this. You were dead in 1 through 3. But look what happens in verse 4. Everybody look and see. But what? Everybody, but what? But God, being rich in mercy because of what? His great love, which he loved us, even when we were. What happened? It says, he made us what?
Alive.
Look at here, dear friends. Dead.
Alive.
Everybody with me? Another way you could look at it, spiritually, or another way, let me say this, another way, sin controlling in bondage to sin or freed from sin, right? You can look at it both ways. How does one get from here to here? Believing in God, according to this passage, how? But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love, he, what? He makes us alive. How do you get from here to here? One thing stands in the middle, and that is grace. That is God. That's the amazing thing about God. That's the amazing thing about the gospel. I once was blind. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound to save a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am. I was blind, but now I. God stands in the middle. Now, check this out. What does God do? How does he make us go from here to here? By what means does he just come and go, bzz, eh? Huh? Does he just do a spiritual zapping? Listen. What he does not spiritually zap people. He uses missionaries. He uses missionaries. The way one goes from here to here is God through the means of a missionary preaching the word of God. Look with me in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 says, for I am what? Romans 1:16, I apologize. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? For it is the power. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Come on, everybody with me. Why?
The power of God.
Because the gospel is the power of God to salvation. The means through which God brings somebody from death to life is one means. And what is that means? The gospel. God does not just zap people. What God does is he brings a missionary to come and to bring the gospel. And the Spirit of God comes down through that gospel to transform the heart.
God does not zap what he does. He uses the message. And he brings the message through the speaker, and that message transforms the heart. There is only one thing. There is only one thing that can set free someone from the bondage to sin. It is the message of the gospel. It is the power of God going out through the gospel. And let me say that again. It is the power of God going out through the
gospel.
This someone will never come to faith in God without the power of God transforming. And what is the means through which the power of God transforms? It is the gospel. Look with me, Romans chapter 10, and I want you to see this. Starting with me in verse 14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? Everybody come with me now. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Now look, verse 16. However, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, the Lord, Lord, who has believed our report? Now look at verse 17. So faith comes. We are saved by what? We are saved by faith, right? If someone is going to be here and be in the saved position, he has faith, he has believed, he has repented. He has been born again. So how does someone have faith? How does one be born again? How does all that happen? He tells us right here. So faith comes from hearing, or what is heard. You have some weak translation? No, I'm just kidding. EVS, I know. I just like poking fun. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing of the word of Christ. Friends, listen. We, as believers, we sit here and we look out, if you will, at the unbelieving world around us. And they are everywhere, are they not? We look out, and when we see them, what are we seeing? People what? Talk to me. People under sin. Who's going to help them? What is their hope? Listen, they have no hope without you. They have no hope without you. If you do not go with the message, they have no hope. Faith comes from hearing. And we sit here with the message in our own minds and we fail to bring it to them. Why did Paul go out and evangelize? Why did he go on his missionary journeys? Couldn't God just save him? No. God uses the messenger. That is the means through which he uses. God does not just zap people. He zaps people through a messenger bringing the good news. And that's why the feet of those who bring good news are beautiful. I never thought I had beautiful feet. But we can all have beautiful feet in this room. We're agents of the good news. My dear friends, I hope you're seeing it. Are you seeing it?
Yes.
Okay. Got it. You're seeing it. Friends, look it. How will they hear? Without a preacher. the power of preachers. Look at all mankind. All mankind is under sin. And let me tell you, I believe that they have the knowledge of God within them. According to John chapter 1, God, when He creates them, He breathes into them life, and that life becomes the light of man. Mankind even has a knowledge of Him, and even in that knowledge, there can be a desire, I believe, even to obey. The problem is that desire is overcome by sin. And therefore, it doesn't become a reality. But they may know He needs to go out the door. They may know He needs to go ahead. They may know it. He may long to get out there, but the problem is he's under sin and he has no hope of ever getting free. But it must be us. We need to be agents who come and bring the good news to free him from his sin, to free him. We need to go on mercy missions to be agents who free people that they might go and become servants of the King. Amen? Amen? Friends, if you are a Christian and you are not a missionary, shame on you. Because you have a message that can give life, and you hold it to yourself. They have no hope without you. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We stand in awe that we are chosen to bring your news to mankind. Lord, and that you have transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into your marvelous light. Lord, and as messengers, we have the responsibility. We're saved. We're chosen race, a holy priesthood, a people of your own possession, so that, according to 1 Peter, so that we might proclaim the excellencies of Him who saved us from, who transferred us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And God, may we not be ashamed. May we, by all mercy, not be ashamed of your gospel. For it is your power for salvation. Help us, arm us with those truths, and elicit in our hearts the passion to join your mission in bringing all people to bend the knee under your lordship. Through your Son we pray. Amen.